ancient grains of space dust have been found inside a rocky meteorite that struck our planet half a century ago. Researchers at the Field Museum of Natural History in Chicago say the dust is 7 billion years old. That makes it the oldest material on Earth. For more on the discovery, we're joined now on the KCBS Ring Central Newsline by Philip Heck, lead author of this study and associate curator of meteoritics and polar studies at the museum. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us. How do you age space dust? How do we know this is 7 billion years old?
So we basically analyze the individual dust grains that we extract from the meteorite with an instrument called mass spectrometer, and that instrument essentially just counts the individual atoms in these dust grains. Some of those atoms were not initially there. They accumulated over time when these dust grains flew through our galaxy to space and were exposed to cosmic rays. Those cosmic rays, they fly through the particles normally, but sometimes they interact, break apart atoms, and form fragments that accumulate. And by just counting the number of fragments that accumulate in these dust particles, we can determine an age. It's similar to putting out a bucket into a rainstorm, taking it back in, measuring the water level, and then finding out how long it was out there. It only works, obviously, if the rainfall is constant over time. And luckily, with cosmic rays, that's the case.
Let's take a step back. How is space dust formed?
Space dust is formed around stars, and stars that are very old, stars in their last life phase, essentially. What happens is those stars, they blow up basically very slowly, and the winds that come off the stars cool, and dust forms in these cooling winds. And this is when the dust starts its life in space and gets ejected into space, into the space between the stars, and where it spends much of its time. And later on, this dust, and 4.6 billion years ago, became part of the forming solar system, became part of Earth, became part of the Sun, but also became part of asteroids and comets. And the Murchison meteorite from which the dust was extracted is a fragment of such an asteroid that formed in the beginning of our solar system and hasn't changed much since. So it's essentially preserved and preserves the original composition of our solar system. That's why it's so pristine and contains pre-solar stardust.
How common is it to find stardust on Earth?
Stardust is very rare. Even in meteorites that are as pristine as Murchison, it's only parts per million within the meteorite. And only less than 5% of all the meteorites have stardust. So it's like finding a needle in a haystack. In order to find a needle, we just burn down the haystack. Obviously, we don't burn the meteorite, but we treat it with acids and dissolve away everything else. So just the stardust remains and can be studied.
So what can we learn from this 7-billion-year-old stardust?
So what we do is we determine the ages of all the grains that we date and find a whole distribution of ages. So we find many young grains and only a few that were as old as 2 to 3 billion years older than the Sun, making it about 5.5 to 7 billion years old. And by looking at the age distribution, we can then trace that back to star formation events in our galaxy. So if we find a number of grains with a certain age range, they are then traced back to a time in our galaxy when the parent stars of those dust grains formed. So we can learn something about star formation history of our galaxy, and we think that's important because those stars were the parent stars of our Sun, essentially our parent stars. These were the same stars that formed the carbon in our bodies. The carbon that's in these pre-solar grains is still preserved in its original form as part of the grain. In our bodies, it has taken up many different forms until it ended up in our bodies, but it's the same source, the same parent stars. That's why we think it's so interesting.
All right. Well, we thank you so much for taking a few minutes to talk with us, Philip Heck, with the Field Museum of Natural History in Chicago.